Welcome back to Techonomics. I'm your host, Jason Middleton. Dave Pell has a problem, and he freely admits it. He's news obsessed. Pell refers to himself as a curation savant, and if you're not reading his daily email, you're missing out. It's called The Next Draft, and there's a link on KGORadio.com. Dave Pell started his curation obsession with a printed-out newsletter that he distributed to about 30 of his closest friends. Pell also did some seed investing, and those investments bore fruit. He's a Silicon Valley phenom, and we spoke with him earlier this week. Dave, do me a favor, please, and give me your name and title.
Dave Pell, writer, Next Draft.
Dave, I've been a fan of Next Draft for a long time. I came across it through Beta Brand, which is a San Francisco boutique kind of clothing store. How did you guys get hooked up?
Actually, I just was really lucky. They happened to contact me at a time where I needed a new sponsor. So they became my sponsor, and they're sort of like an annual sponsor, so I don't have to worry much about getting new advertisers. And it's a really good fit because they're an indie brand, and they really are perfect for the sort of internet era crowd that I think a lot of folks, there's a lot of crossover with the Next Draft readership, and it's sort of a cool, fun indie brand, so it was really lucky for me.
Right on. I have the Immaculate Conception version of Guadalupe pants. I golf in those. I got those from Beta Brand.
Oh, nice.
Those were always a big hit. Dave, let's talk about Davenetics for a second, okay? Because was that your starting point when it comes to curation, if you will? And then we're going to talk about more curation stuff.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, back in the first internet boom, I was actually an investor, and I worked with a bunch of startups and a bunch of CEOs, and I started sort of collecting the day's most interesting tech news, and I'd sort of write up little blurbs on each one and give them what they needed to know from it so they wouldn't have to waste the time looking themselves. And I sent it out to probably about 50, 60 people who were either running or working at the companies that I advised or had invested in. And it sort of spread from there, and it got out a little bit. And after about a year, it was up to about 25,000 subscribers. So it got pretty big, especially during that era where there weren't really that many internet professionals. So that was really fun. After a while, once the bust came, it was sort of like writing an obituary column because every article was basically about who went out of business that day. Eventually, that morphed into the Next Draft because I wanted to write about all news, both because I was just getting sick of writing about tech and also because I'm generally more passionate about general news than I am about just tech news. So I've always been a writer, so I like writing about whatever I'm working on. So it was fun, but it wasn't as fun as it could be. So I switched it to all news, and that's when it became Next Draft.
We're talking with Dave Pell, author of Next Draft, which is a daily curation of content. Would you say you were like a pre-blogger? Is that what it was? I mean, because you were binding this stuff, right? You were printing it out and binding it.
Well, that was a long time before that. That was actually before the internet. When I was a lot younger and in high school and college, I used to sort of write up these quarterly or annual reports on what was going on and had a lot of jokes and different anecdotes from my life. And I would take that down to Kinko's and print it out and bind it and send it out to all my friends, whether they wanted it or not. So my closest friends are the biggest beneficiaries of the internet because they no longer have to receive that bundle in the mail every few months. But I did call my pseudo-publishing company Davenetics at that point. So that's okay. How I came up with the name once the internet came and I decided to start writing about dot-coms and other topics.
You know, I was speaking with Guy Kawasaki last week about content curation and moving forward, and I'm wondering what you think is happening in that space because, like I said, like I open your thing every day. I always find something there of interest. There's never a miss, frankly. So thank you for that, first of all. Second of all, I'm wondering what else you're seeing when it comes to content curation and if there's a model or a business model that can be built around it.
I think it's an important thing right now. I really don't think of myself, I mean, I do curate, but I don't really think of myself as a content curator as much as sort of a columnist. I think if somebody were to launch the form of a newspaper column today, it would sort of look a lot like Next Draft. It would be a sort of the story of the day with a lot of links out for more information on various topics. And that's really what I'm writing. Here's what's interesting to me today. And then I link out to the full articles for people who want to read those also.
Right.
But I think it's important now because there's so much information out there and most of the means by which people get their information, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or Snapchat or different ways, is sort of these ongoing streams that sort of keep coming at you. And it can be pretty overwhelming. So the nice thing about a curator or a newsletter or a blog that sort of organizes it for you is that that stuff sort of sits there and stays where it is. You know, that's what I like most about email, is that unlike other forms of streaming content, email is always right where you left it.
Right.
You don't feel like, if I don't read it right this minute, I'm going to miss out on all this content. It stays the same. You don't have to feel like you have to keep up with every single thing. And I really think that feeling that you might be missing a story, you might be missing some content, is really one of the most detrimental parts about the rise of the internet, and especially the rise of streaming content that just keeps coming at you, because it's not a real concern, I don't think, that people have. It's not something, you don't need to keep up with every story. You don't need to be on top of everything that happens in the world if you're just a regular human living in your little corner of the planet. You know, part of the goal of news organizations and companies that stream the content is to make you feel like you need to be on top of it all the time. So I think what curators do is sort of take a little bit of pressure off, that release a little air out of that valve, and let people just relax and get content that will be interesting to them, but not feel like they have to spend their lives watching the stream.
You mentioned earlier that your passion is general news, but you do come from a pretty tech-heavy background. Could you tell us a little bit about where you got started and your roots, if you will, in Silicon Valley?
Yeah, sure. I had a small stock portfolio that I ran for my three sisters. I have three older sisters and me, and it was called, our little mini company was called Arba, which means four in Hebrew. And during that period, a friend of mine was working at a company called Venture Law Group, which was sort of the first, one of the first real internet first boom law firms that represented startups like Hotmail and Yahoo and a bunch of other companies. And he was telling me about what he was working on. And so I started to say, I was not an investor by any means, but I had this small stock portfolio that I sort of managed. And I said to him, I wonder if I can invest in some of these startups instead of just investing in public companies where I really have very little data over what everybody else can see themselves as well. And he said, yeah, you should try. And I said, all right, cool. I want to invest in Google and Hotmail and Yahoo. And he said, well, it's too late for those, dude, but you can try this company. And he introduced me to a company that was looking for money, and I was looking to invest money. And we had a meeting, and it was both of our first meetings, actually, their first pitch and my first listen. And
wow.
It went on for a few hours, too long for both of us. But that's how I sort of got started in it. And it's been really fun so far. I've been really lucky. I generally co-invest with really smart people, so I've sort of benefited from the intelligence and kindness of colleagues in that industry.
You know, you say a couple of hours was that initial pitch meeting, really?
I would say a couple hours too long, yeah. It was more like 4 hours, but it was pretty crazy. But it was actually a great company. It was a company that did online college application stuff, and they were way, way ahead of their time. And they got acquired, and they're still running their early technology has morphed into what a lot of people use to apply to colleges even today. But they never got quite as huge as they could have been because of that first bust, which the younger listeners won't really may have heard of, but won't understand how incredibly brutal it was. They sort of got eaten up by that as well.
So as an investor, did their fiscal moment happen at a good time for you, or did it happen a little bit too early for you?
Because of the bust, their fiscal moment just really didn't happen for me at all. But the experience of working with them was really great, and the product they built was really great. So it was still a good learning experience and a fun experience and an inspiring experience too, because, you know, a lot of people have an idea about the tech community, I think, especially now more than ever, which I think is a little bit dangerous for our community in general, that it's just all about the money. It's all about people just coming out to California, you know, with greed, and it's sort of like the gold rush part two. But really, during that first boom, especially, people were really into creating stuff that they, for the first time, they had an idea for years, and for the first time, they could actually execute on that idea. And the excitement over that was really, really high, and it was fun to be a part of. So even the ones that didn't necessarily make as much as you hoped they would, it was still so, so fun having a front row seat to that revolution that I wouldn't change any of it, even though a few of them didn't make it as well as I would have liked.
Right. It's one of those things where, like, it's kind of like when you go to Austin, Texas, and they tell you, you know, things were a lot cooler just before you got here. So sounds like Silicon Valley might be going down that same road.
Yeah. I mean, I think Silicon Valley is cool in a lot of ways now, but there's definitely a lot more hubris now. And I think it's also just some of the economic divide that's taking place across the country and across the world is sort of starting to take an impact on how people view the tech community. I mean, you see recently a bunch of the tech leaders wrote an article about why they don't want to support Donald Trump. And I just, as part of the tech community, that probably agrees with that policy, or definitely agrees with that policy. I don't really think that it's going to have a huge impact on the rest of the country. And I think that's because people sort of have a slightly, or even more than slightly, negative view of the tech community. And that's something I worry about. When it comes to technology, that's the thing I worry about the most these days, is how the rest of the planet sort of perceives our industry and what we're doing to fan those flames.
Right. Dave Pell, thank you so much for your time this morning. I very much appreciate it.
Oh, thanks a lot.
It's Dave Pell. He's the creator of Next Draft. You want to sign up for that and get it in your email.
Thanks.
That was Dave Pell. He's an author, and he produces a daily email of the Internet's best articles of the day. The email blast is called The Next Draft. There's a link on KGORadio.com. Coming up after the short break, let's talk Pokemon Go. I mean, everybody still is, right? I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Please come on back for more.